Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio. We have a brand new episode here. We're very excited about this. Actually, we were talking about this now for like the past couple of days because you're so excited about it.
The topic of conversation every morning as we get excited for it.
Yeah. So we have Ben and Fabian, right?
That's right. Yes.
You guys are working on this new project, Bubsby 4D, right? Mm-hmm. And it's coming out actually very, very soon. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and also about the game. We'll go from there.
Yeah, so Ben and I run Fabras, and it's a studio that's been around for 10 to 12 years. And we've been basically doing a lot of platformers lately. Most recent release has been Demon Tides, just in February, actually. That has been a great release. Really excited about that one. And then before that, we worked on Demon Turf. And then before that, on Slime Sand, which was not a 3D platformer, but a 2D platformer. So you could say that we've somewhat specialized in the platforming genre a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think nowadays we definitely need more of that. Because I remember growing up playing those type of games, you know, so.
Right.
And Ben, what about you, Ben?
Yeah, so I'm a main programmer, and yeah, so just a lot of the same path that Fabian just described, that we've sort of spent our time sort of working on growing up and playing platformers and just digging all things that.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Bree, you have questions for the crew, for the team?
Yeah, I mean, if we can get started. I am going to have to fight a little bit against just fangirling out, because there are only a handful of games I ever had on my Sega Genesis. You know, I was a child. I didn't have an unlimited budget. So Bubsy was one of my games, right? It's anybody who is a visual learner, it's the one where he's got his hand up and he's like all jazzed to the side. And I remember that cartridge so vividly. And I remember playing for months and months and months, and I could never get past the train level, and it's burned into my childhood gamer brain. Mm-hmm. What is it like working with something that is so iconic for such a specific group of people?
As one of those people also in that group that also grew up with Sega Genesis, and I didn't really know about actually Bubsy 3D and its reputation, so the weird backstory of my work on this game is I actually grew up with just the first two and had a really soft spot for them as well, as like this kind of Sonic like very really fun personality forward kind of platformer. Also probably even get as far as the train level, but it's really cool. It's not something I necessarily expected, but feels like powerful of being able to step back in that history and actually meaningfully, you know, reflect it, bring it forward, and try and contribute something cool to a game with a lot of legacy.
It's kind of funny with like getting stuck in the train level. I feel like we all have that game from like the SNES era that like you only got two levels in and never further, right? Like for me, that was the Lion King on the Super Nintendo. Like it was like the one where you have to bounce off the animal heads. That's it. Past that, never seen more of the game. I don't know if there is more of the game, and I'll never know. But yeah, so I never grew up with Bubsy myself, actually. I only knew of its infamy, you might even say, because of some of the games, you know, being somewhat known for not always delivering, specifically with Bubsy 3D. So my perspective was an outsider perspective who then got an insider perspective, and it made me reappreciate the series a ton more than what the internet made me believe initially.
And why is the right time now to release a game like this?
I think the stars just kind of aligned. Like I mentioned, that we have specialized in this genre. And Atari wanted to specifically try a revival with Bubsy that is in the 3D platforming sphere. And so it seems like we were basically on their list of devs to contact pretty early on. And when we got a request for a pitch, we just had pretty much immediately what I think it was a really solid idea. And it just kind of came together.
Awesome. Awesome. Ree?
Yeah, and this may be more of like a narrative kind of question, but when approaching a character like Bubsy and a lot of these characters from early days platformers before we had guides and walkthroughs and could watch somebody stream at a very high level of mastery, you only get a small taste of these characters in the world, yeah, and whatever story there does happen to be. how do you extrapolate what, again, is like such a specific experience for a lot of people in make an entire new game that you can expect more people will see the end of?
We did a lot of research, and the thing is that it gets even more complicated by the fact that, like, especially with older games, oftentimes you would get more context about the characters outside of the game. Like, you'd have to read the manual, right? Or, like, the ad campaigns for some reason have more, like, actual personality than even the character in the game. So we looked at all of that. We also looked at the revivals, because there were two previous attempts of revivals that had varying degrees of success. And we looked at all of that, and we were like, okay, what do we canonize? What do we, like, you know, consider the core aspects of the character, and then how can we add our own twist to it without like changing it just for the sake of it, right? Because we didn't want to do that either. And so we kind of landed on the idea, because of some of the infamy that some of the games have, that we basically recontextualize them and age them up a little bit. So like he now has aged alongside with his audience, and he's never quite made it. So he's kind of a little bit of a washed up B-list actor. But he still has that spark in him, the same spark that he found in the very first game, you know, where he still has a little bit of that energy. He still thinks success is right around the corner. At any point, it could happen to him finally. And we thought that that's kind of like a really wholesome approach to it, where we keep some of his identity, but then also kind of give it a new fresh coat of paint, really.
Mm-hmm. Acknowledge that history, especially some of the falling flat, but also with a little bit of affection and, you know, believing him and giving him another opportunity with that.
And how was it like adding, you know, all those new things in the game, you know, because it's kind of hard to keep the fans happy, but also you want to introduce this to new fans. So how's that process been for you guys?
We tried to be faithful, basically. So, I mean, we had a couple of rules. Like, the first rule was that, like, we won't constantly make fun of the previous games or the legacy, because we were like, if we thought that if we do that, then why play this game? Like, if we don't take the World Series ourselves, then why should anybody else? And so part of that was then basically in the writing there to make sure that it's not self-deprecating all the time. You know, a lot of his reimagining of, like, you know, aging him up, giving him this new look, that's more for the, like, new fans. And then for the old fans, a lot of it is just like bringing in returning characters, fleshing them out in a way that they haven't been fleshed out before, or even digging deeper. And, like, for example, one of the main cast characters is from a failed animated pilot episode, and she never was in any game, but she was in that pilot. And we're like, let's pull that out and actually make her a real character, canonize her. And I think that's for the fans more than anything, because, you know, the real fans will know of her existence. They'll probably have written up a big wiki page about her. And
Awesome.
Speaking of the fans, like, how much conversation has there been between, you know, your team and your research and going to those, you know, dedicated, faithful, you know, Reddit wiki audiences who are keeping the flame alive for Bubsy?
I mean, we did all of our research, right, Ben? We joined the Bubsy fan server. We watched a bunch of fan videos. Like, we did it all.
Yeah, no, I think we kind of did it in iterations of, like, first our kind of interpretation and our saying, check in with kind of what that community was thinking, like, especially post announcement, kind of like then going in, talking through and kind of getting a sense of their reactions, which doing something with a long history for a franchise was, that's a worry sometimes, but like they also, I think, really were happy with the interpretation too from all the people we were interacting with.
It also helps that like we had a super fan at Atari, like one of our producers is a mega fan, so he'd fact check us whenever we stumbled and said something wrong. And our concept artist, she also did 10 times the research of any of us. So she's basically an encyclopedia of, like, knowledge at this point.
She's probably doubled the view count on the pilot episode alone.
Last week, was it last week, Reed? Yeah, we went to a conference in Las Vegas, ICON, and Wade, actually CEO of Atari, was there. He actually was talking about the project, you know, very excited, you know. How's it been working with Atari and the process of, like, you know, showing them, like, hey, we worked on this already, you know, showing the updates here and there? How's that? Mm-hmm. How's that process has been?
They've been great. They really were basically on board right away with even our more out there ideas. You know, like, for example, proposing this redesign of his iconic shirt with the exclamation mark to the jacket and tie instead. That's a bold move. And they pretty much were on board. They gave us a bit of feedback here and there to kind of still ensure that it feels like Bubsy. But yeah, yeah, no, working with them has been great. And they've been going kind of all in recently in a way that's been like really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Even some of the wilder ideas, like when we were first pitching the game, we had the hairball in there as well. And that was the one I was convinced of, like, this is so weird. There's no way they're going to go for this. Like, how? But they were, you know, picking what we were putting down. And I think it turned out awesome.
Yeah, I like those risks. Like, hey, you know what? Let's go for it, you know? So, yeah, pretty cool.
What are some of the things you all have learned from your time with other platformers and maybe other revivals that have kind of informed the 4D iteration?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, with the revivals, like we touched upon it a little bit, right? It's like if it's a revival of a series that has a somewhat more complicated history, making sure not to make fun of it all the time. And in terms of like platformers, really, we kind of just organically grew into something that we call expressive platforming. There's kind of a subgenre that we're pushing. And the idea there is there's enough complexity in the moveset that the combinations you can do allow you to express yourself through the movement. And so the best way to kind of like showcase that is that like if you have a gap that you need to cross, in how many different ways can you cross it, right? Can you use 2-3 different moves in succession at different rates, at different moments? Can you use the level in a way that like maybe you'll wall climb, maybe you'll jump, maybe you'll walk around it? The idea that basically if the answer to that question is like more than 10, then we consider it like an expressive way to move through a game. And we discovered that while working on Demon Turf and really enjoyed that aspect. And so then we pushed it a lot with Demon Tides, where it landed super well. And then kind of explored the same concept with Bubsy as well, but with some different ideas.
So I was going to ask you, both of you guys, so which was like the first game that you guys like, okay, I'm going to start with this research. I'm going to start with this game. Let me play it. You know, was there any games like that for you guys from the series that were like, okay, I'm going to play this first to do my research?
We as a team, just had a couple of hangouts just playing through all of them, with like the recent re-releases and collections that were coming out. So we played through Bubsy 1, 2, 3D. I think we looked a little bit at like the Game Boy games that are also included in there, just trying to pull out, you know, if we're making another game in the series, like what are the iconic, like key fundamental things that make a Bubsy game? Because it's an adaptation, it's updating, there's going to be new things in there, but like what will be that's essential to feel like a Bubsy game. That's how we like, obviously the big ones, the glide, the humor, that things like custom death animations and unique moments like that. But also like in Bubsy 1, it being a Sonic like and being this very momentum driven speed to it that's very much in the same vein as Sonic, and that's where a lot of our sort of intent with the hairball came from, for instance, was trying to emulate that, taking it from the 2D space into the 3D.
Right. Yeah, we played the revivals as well, Positive Fire and Woolly Strike Back, and we even played this bizarre fan game where it's Bubsy visits the James Tyrell retrospective or something like that, I think is the full name. And like it's we did all of that because like, especially with that fan game too, it's fun to reference that part of the history. And it also kind of shows the longevity of this Bobcat, right? Because we mentioned it before that like, if there was nothing of interest in this character, which some people like to claim online, right? Because it mostly Bubsy 3D's reputation, then he wouldn't be coming back all the time. It wouldn't linger in people's minds and hearts that way. And so, you know, trying to identify that and kind of keep that spirit alive was kind of like part of that research, I think.
Yeah. And how was it also, you know, learning new things from the actual fans, the hardcore fans, too, while working on this research and everything in the game?
It's been good. I mean, so far they've been all really kind and totally on board. I think they're just excited to have more. And I hope they can see that our sincerity is true. You know, we're not in there, not here for a quick cash grab or anything like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad that you got that they understand it just by the fact that there's like the Bubsy pilot material in the opening cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good to see that you guys are not only playing the games, but also learning new things from the actual fans too. You know, I think that's important, but great job on that.
Yeah.
It's a big part of the legacy and that history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask a question that would never come from me. If I've never heard of Bubsy, I've never played a platformer, what is there here for me in 4D?
So it depends what you're looking for. There's a lot. So like if you are a 3D platformer nerd and you've especially have played, let's say, recent Mario outings and you felt like it never quite got challenging enough, for example, then that's usually where our games come in, because we like to push the complexity a little bit. And the difficulty a little bit. So it's anybody who's knowledgeable in 3D platformers will find a little bit of that extra challenge. I think that will be really fun. The other thing is it has a lot of humor. It's very humor focused in its narrative, including a lot of meta jokes occasionally. So that's why some people have been referring to Bubsy as the Deadpool of gaming. So like one of my favorite examples, for example, is that like we have optional tank controls that you can turn on, because Bubsy 3D, of course, infamously was a 3D platform with tank controls, which nowadays in retrospect we know is not a good idea. But at the time they didn't know, because they were trying to figure out what this genre is and were experimenting. But so as a nod to that, we have that as a setting and you can turn it on. And in that menu, you will see Bubsy freaking out and begging you to turn it back off. And it's like that kind of thing that we like to play with that I think people will enjoy quite a bit.
That's so fun.
That's a pretty good breakdown. Pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of people that this might be the first time playing this, you know, because it's been a long time since a new Bubsy game, you know. So, so it's good to see that. I mean, you guys also released a demo of this, right?
That's right, on pretty much all consoles, so you can try it right now.
Yeah, and how's the feedback on that, just with the demo alone?
It's been great. We released the PC one, like, when was that? September?
Next Fest, like, half a year ago?
Yeah, and currently sitting at 92% on Steam, so very, very happy with that, and hopefully the rest of the game sticks to landing just as much.
Yeah. What is it that you think... you want people to be excited about the game? Is it more about the story, new story? Is it you know, the battles against bosses, puzzles? Like, what is it you're excited for people to try out for the first time once this game releases?
I think in part getting to know Bubsy past a meme and actually see how they like the character just as he's presented and as he comes across, because there's a lot more there in the original games, but also past also the memes of who he is now that in the game we're making. Excited for them to discover that. And also, I think just the gameplay movement, we're really happy with how the actual flow of the controls and handling worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Personally, I would be so happy if that game is in GDQ. I just want it in GDQ. Because it's the right size, it has the complexity. We offer like a lot of features for speedrunners to activate. You know, you can have your streamer name in the UI. You can have an always a timer on. You can have a quick reset.
There's built-in mode variants with tank control percent.
Right. Like we have leaderboards, ghost runs. So like we really hope that people get addicted to the speedrunning aspect that, you know, will extend the shelf life of this game a lot. I think people, like, this is the kind of game where you could spend 5 hours on it or you could spend 50. If you get addicted to getting just a little bit of a better time, you know, like, oh, I could shave off a second here.
I think like, a few people have even done that in the demo already.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I have a question for Ree, because I know she's a fan. So,
okay.
What is it you're excited about playing this game again? Because it's been a while since you played the older games.
This is going to sound maybe a little self-deprecating, so appropriate for this conversation. I'm excited to play Bubsy now that I can play games well. Because, you know, when I was a child, okay, I couldn't get good. I didn't know about any of the guides. So, like, it was tough because, you know, unless one of my older cousins could jump in and take the controller and beat it for me, I could only see so much of the game, right? And right. I knew I loved Bubsy. I loved the humor. I loved the direct to Cameron breaking the fourth wall. And I wanted to see more of it, but my limited skills limited my ability to really unlock more of the game. So right. Now that I'm a grown up, mm-hmm. and if I do get stuck, I can always watch a speed run. I can see the whole thing. And I'm really excited for that and to experience it that way.
For what it's worth, I think from our research going back for the older games, that wasn't just like being less skilled as a kid. Like, they were hard.
They're hard. Yeah. They're so hard. Oh my God.
I mean, like, a lot of those games are old. Really, really hard.
We were very save state reliant when doing our playthroughs.
it's very much a benefit returning with that change in setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember playing old games where there was no saves. Like, you die, you start from scratch. That's it, you know? So
remember those codes you had to put in? Like, sometimes that was also a whole thing.
Yeah, it was rough. Or, like, I remember my mom will be like, all right, you got to turn it off. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't turn this off.
Because then I have to do this all over again. It has to stay on overnight. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, for example, playing, like, a Nintendo game, I'll cover the red light. Like, okay, my mom's not going to see the red light. Let me just turn it off. And then the next day, continue playing it. So, yeah. So you guys also have the game also difficulty for, like, newcomers that probably they're into easy mode. They probably want something hard or something easy. You guys have that too, right? So how was that to balance it out, not to have it not too hard, not too easy?
I think a lot of it is because there's not that much, it's not as focused on combat and direct hazards. It's a lot more on movement and getting around, you know, challenges that you can take your time with it. There's checkpoints. Mm-hmm. You get multiple attempts per, you know, like, life before you reset back to those checkpoints that I think we're pretty forgiving with how you actually can manage jumps and recover and all these things, that then the high skill ceiling comes instead into those leaderboards, shaving down the time. And just doing levels really quickly, but then there's more sort of leisurely version of getting all the collectibles, finding the blueprints to unlock additional abilities or unlock outfits, that's a much more exploratory and kind of at your own pace, that I think is kind of like difficulty agnostic in some ways.
We have accessibility options too. So, like, if you really have difficulties, you can slow down the time, you can make yourself invincible. We also have, like, extra visualizations if you have depth perception issues. We like to make games that are, like, easy to learn, hard to master kind of thing. And, like, even if you are not super skilled, you should be able to at least beat the game. Maybe not 100% complete it, but definitely beat it.
Any other questions, Ree?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to ask this, but I kind of don't. So feel free to give a cagey answer. But what surprises are, like, you most excited for people to find when they play through the game?
That's a good one. I think they'll be surprised by some, like, by the amount of boss fights for the scale of the game. I think that's one. I think they'll, like, the alternate modes that we have are funky, like the tank controls that I mentioned, but we also have something called 9 lives mode, where you can only be hit 9 times across the game, and otherwise your save gets wiped. So we have like funky little modes like that I think are surprising and fun to explore. And then anybody who's played any of our games in the past will know that there's something waiting for you if you are a completionist.
Bonus content.
And I won't say more.
Time-honored platformer tradition.
Awesome. Any other questions, Rig? I'm good on my side.
Honestly, I'm scared to ask too much more. I just want to play it. I'm just so excited to get my hands on it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, when is the official release date, and also where people could buy the game once it releases?
So May 22nd, and it's releasing literally everywhere. So we're talking Xbox One, Xbox Series S, X, PS4, PS5, Switch One, Switch 2. Xbox Play Anywhere, EGS, GOG, Steam, and I think I've got them all.
I mean, you're not missing nothing.
You've got the Samsung fridge, but okay.
I go to bed like just saying it over and over again. It's my mantra now.
it's also going to Neuralink, so then you also can play it in bed too.
Smart fridge. Oh yeah.
Where's my handheld? I have it somewhere around here, but definitely can't wait to check it out though, man. Now, but congrats to you guys and good luck with the game.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.